Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here to raise our voice and singing and praise you. You present in this room, so I pray that you would please with our heart and our mind when we worship you. Everything we do for your glory, Father, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, thank you very, very much for praying for us. You know, about 14 of us take the mission trip to two or three different countries. So I want to use the opportunity, the first few minutes, to report to you about the trip. It's only 5 to 7 minutes. Go through the picture real quick before I go into the sermon, Discovering God's Direction. So we fly from America to Seoul, South Korean. And from South Korean, we took about 6 hours to Gimhae, and we start the missions, spread the gospel in Gimhae and Changwon and Jinju. Because there are roughly about 100, let's just back around a little bit, roughly about 150,000 Vietnamese contract worker in South Korea. So there is a great population, not only in Seoul, but also spread on over the country of South Korea. And we pick Gimhae, Changwon, and Jinju as our church, part of our church missions plan. The reason we pick Gimhae, because 4 years ago, the small group of people from our church traveled to Gimhae. And because part of the evangelism explosion team, so we go out the street, we evangelize, and roughly about 16 or 17 people of the Vietnamese worker came to Christ roughly about 4 years ago. So the idea of creating a Vietnamese church in Gimhae began to form. And we have one of the missionary take charge to very much like to manage that church in Gimhae, to take care, discipleship, these 17 young workers. And eventually the church grows, so it spread to Changwon from Gimhae and then to Jinju. 3 years ago, we visited Jinju, but Changwon, there is some kind of like disease, SARS, something like that going on, so we cannot stop by Changwon. But the gospel spread among the Vietnamese people in those cities. So the trip on the way from South Korea, Cambodia, and Vietnam, we very much share the gospel and preaching and evangelize. Roughly about 329 people came to Christ. And 3 people pray for assurance. It means they lost their faith, they left the church, and somehow we met them out on the street. And very much like reassurance their faith and introduce them back to the church. We provide basic need help for about 500 unit families. And believe it or not, for the second trip, missions trip, we just by accident or God plan, we don't know, but we open one of the Khmer church in one of the village. I will go over when we get to that section. We have the evangelized event, and roughly about 17 people came to Christ. And we went to one of the 4 o'clock in the morning, this gathering of the worker and the student at this place, and we had the event there. So all that the student, but they work third shift. So by the end of the shift, they went to the church, half hour or 1 hour worship, and by 6 o'clock, they had to get to the train station to get back to their university or their house. So we get there about 4 o'clock, do the preparation, and go through 1 hour service and some quick fellowship, and take them to the bus or the train station. So we had the worship service in the Gimhae church. When we talk about the church of building, you know, very, very small room, probably smaller than the young people room in the back, very, very small. Okay, This is in Changwon, roughly about 4 persons came to Christ. And of course, our people, when during the fellowship, we share the gospel and a few more people came to Christ. So they called him Pastor Tung. So he led about 4 or 5 people. After the evangelistic event, he led about 4 or 5 more people came to Christ in Changwon. Okay, those 4 people. So these 4 people called Bak Tung, our church. Pastor Tung, can you help and pray for us? Okay, and during the fellowship, you know, we share the gospel and a few more people came to Christ. And this is in Chinju. Chinju, when we had the evangelistic event, it's only 4 people, first time ever, hear the gospel. Of course, the room is packed, but reality is only 4 people, first time hear the gospel, and all 4 of them came to Christ. And this is our sleep place. It's very, very comfortable. But most of the old folks in our church, they have problem to get up in the morning. So we use a lot of yo-yo and massage to keep them moving at 5:30 in the morning, because the event is from 4 a.m. until 11 p.m. So we had to make sure in good shape. This is my wife. She captures some of the people. They're so tired, so they sleep. Yeah, we get back to this place around 12 o'clock midnight and have about catch up by 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. From that, we fly to Saigon, and the next day is 6-hour bus trip to Siem Reap. And from that, we went to the Tonle Sap Church. These 2 facilities, our church support. The one with the cross is the church. We're in the process of remodeling it. And the building next to it is educational building. That's where, when I share with you, we opened the school. That's the building next to it. Okay, the school was there. The teacher ride a boat to the school twice a week. We provide a scholarship for the teacher so she can finish college. But her commitment, 2 days a week, she ride a boat to the school and teach the student, the children there. And we get there, and then we begin to go from house to house for share the gospel, and that's a way of transportation. And the reason I want to show this picture, because 3 years ago when we share the gospel, we come to this boat, we share the gospel, and the 3 young people in the back came to Christ. And this time they said, can your guy come to our house, the boathouse, and share the gospel to my mom and my dad? But the dad was working away from the house, so we share the gospel to the mom, and the mom come to Christ. And another team, we try to catch up with the dad. And they're just so happy. And we have, after that, we get back to Tonle Sap Church, and we have the evangelistic program, and this is the dancing group. Those 4 young people came to Christ 3 years ago when we was there, and they were very active. Okay, so that event, and roughly about 17 people came to Christ, mostly from the parent and from the sibling, from the people at that church. And of course, he prayed to close the event. And we ride the boat back to Siem Reap. I'm on this boat, so that's the reason why you can see. And the next day, we travel to one of the land which our church bought for the Siem Reap and the Tonle Sap Church, because the idea is of create a community so they can self-sustain. And part of the self-sustain is in Tonle Sap, they live in by fishing, but the people on land, they will grow fruit, food, and raise a chicken so they can self-sustain for the future. So we, and from the plan, we're supposed to spend about 30 minutes to see what exactly the land which we support and buy for them, for self-sustaining for the future. But somehow the people in the village, they heard about the group. So they're gathering together. But it's rained all night and also in the morning. So the leader of the village came to the people and say, we want to meet this group of people from America. So they hurry up and put up the stick, and then they put the plastic on top, and wham, we had a worship center, okay? And the people from Siem Reap brought rice to this place so we can have a fellowship lunch. Okay, this is the land we bought, roughly about 1 hectare, equivalent about 3 to 5 American acres of land. So we grow stuff there. Okay, and now we had the event, and roughly about 45 people, first time ever, listened to the gospel, came to Christ. And I want to show the chief, he stands right up front, and after we gathering fellowship, and they come to us and say, is it possible we can have the church here for our village? We've surveyed the area. There is no church, no temple, nothing, no electricity even in the village. So this will be the church. So we commit in 2 weeks, we're going to have the basic structure built up. When we talk basic structure, it means it's a little bit better than just 4 or 5 stick and then the plastic. Okay, they at least had a roof on top. And now got some solar system, so have some basic electricity. And we bought the power generator. So the place will have entertainment, you know, at evening, maybe show some Jesus movie. So we order a bunch of DVD and provide to them. So the children begin to come to this place. And I believe these are the people, 45 people came to Christ. So this is how we put together the quick fellowship. And then people eat together, really had a good time. But when they come to us, say, can you eat with us? And all of us say, no, we're full. We already had good breakfast. we still have a long way to go, so we're afraid to eat some strange food. And it's strange food, okay? We don't want to get sick. But if it's just fine. The reason we want to show the big smile, so you can see that they need a lot of dental health. So maybe 2 or 3 years from now, my brain is only thinking about 3 or 4 years from now. Maybe someday we have the nurse with there to check up the health and some basic dental work, whatever, I don't know. Okay, that's a very, very fellowship lunch. That's how we, okay, and the people fellowship, and the chief want to take the picture with us at this place. And that's the piece of land we're talking about. So we pray and bless the land, and 2 days later, believe it or not, and suddenly the chicken begin to lay egg. So they take the picture. The first time ever for 6 or 7 months, we have 14 eggs. So they're just so happy. So since they're so happy, so we say, well, we bought them another 25 chickens so they can, we have a chicken farm there. And then we walk to this year, and we travel to Phnom Penh, and we visit the Lang Rau Muang. It means oi pok choy, whatever, Rau Muang. What is the English word for Rau Muang? But anyway, so we visit that. Oh, no, this is the Siem Reap Church. We had the worship and roughly about 17 people. And that's the church our church helped to build. They tried to complete before we get there, but they're not quite complete yet. But they promised in about 2 weeks you would see the name of the church, and they asked for permission. In English, maybe West Houston Vineyard Baptist Church. Is it possible to put in there? I said, not your problem. I do not want to bring the issue back to America and get the people agree on the name. You pick the name, you're happy and happy. But anyway, verbally, they want to stick it in the word West Houston Vineyard Baptist Church. And of course, the Galilee or whatever, Khmer language church. So I said, just put it there. I want to make sure there's the cross there and some symbolic thing that represents the evangelical church. And then we walked to the Pak Choi. And this facility, our church, support to build the play yard for this church. And this is the church. When we talk about the church, our church helped to finance the very basic structure. And this is the church and also the school. The children in this village, they cannot go to school because they're very much like illegal. Okay, so they work, most of the children, from 4 until 12. They work from 4 a.m. until noon. Okay, in the farm or the river, I will show you. And then they be able to go to the school. And the school provide food for them so they can learn until 5 p.m. And that house their life. Get up 4 o'clock, work until 12, go to the church, eat, and study until 5, and go home, sleep, and day start again, 7 days a week. Okay, this is the sink to us. And the boy, two or three on the left of my side here, we led them to the Lord 3 years ago. Now they are the leaders of this group and help the church for singing and all of that. So we had the event, and this is their means of transportation. They work out the whatever the vegetable in that field, and they take us to the place of their workplace. So along the way, we share the gospel, led people to Christ, and we visit this family because the wife believe in Christ 3 years ago, but husband is not. But this time the husband also pray and accept Christ. So now the whole family, the children already came to Christ. So the wife said, well, can you come to share the gospel to my husband because he's the last one in the family, need the Lord. Okay, that's their house. You know, the front looks like you have some structure as a housing, but the back is the trash. So if you read the news lately, there's a trash people. Basically, they live on the trash in the back, on children. And we get to, the county is Kesomiba, 13 kilometers, and we have the church there, our church support, and roughly about 150-something people show up, very, very small place. And roughly about 108 people came to Christ. Again, this is the first time ever they went to the church. And we, because our church support schooling and all of that. Okay, all the children so happy. And this is, so we walk to this village along the Mekong River and share the gospel. This is just the picture of souvenir. So a year from now, we would remember the background. This is the good side. Okay, but the bad side is behind all of this structure. And we have the meeting with Anna and Thomas Kuhlman. Remember, this missionary come to visit our church, and we support them. He's a doctor, medical doctor, and she's the teacher. And we help from medical perspective. He lead that group. And she, because she's the teacher, she helped to coordinate and train the people. And I'll just provide a scholarship to her so she can provide scholarship for the young people, make sure they go through the school, complete high school or college. And believe it or not, two or three people we help, they finish college. Now they turn around and support the school and the community work which our church support. Now we get to the sermon. Okay, Proverbs 3:5-6, and I'm roughly about 15 minutes. I will try to summarize the sermon. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Believe it or not, you know, through our life, sometimes we think we know, but in reality we don't. And when we rely on ourselves, more likely we fail. But when we get back to the scripture, very much we have to trust him with all our heart. So what exactly is mean when we say, trust in the Lord with all your heart? Trust is very much launches a personal relationship with God. To trust is mean to believe. It is to have faith. And it reminded me when Paul answered to the Philippian jailer, and he said, What can we do to have eternal life? And in Acts 16:31, Paul responds or answers, believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Not only you, but also your household. So the foundation of everything when we're talking about trust in the Lord with all your heart, it means you have to have personal relationship with God, personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is God. When we talk about believing Jesus, believing the Lord Jesus, what exactly does it mean? The book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1, Paul, he wrote the letter to the church of Romans. He talking about the salvation is by faith alone. If you had chances, read in Romans 5, 1. Okay? But they say, well, but how can it be salvation by faith alone? Because grace makes things possible. That reason why in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 to 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So by grace and through faith we have salvation. Because the reason we have to review and remember this, because a lot of people, when we travel through the mission trip, they're thinking, yeah, by faith, but I also have to do something else in order to have salvation. Believe it or not, a lot of people, another section of the world, they said, you know, in order for me to have salvation, I have to do a lot of good deeds. I have to help people in order for me to earn salvation. But when we get back to the scripture, we say, by grace, you've been saved through faith. Okay? Because we ourselves, as a sinful person, regardless whatever we do, good deed we do, is not good enough in order to earn the salvation, in order to earn heaven. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, by grace, we have that. And John 3:26 reminding us, faith brings everlasting life starting immediately. The reason why John, when he wrote, whoever believes in the Son, it means Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. So the moment when you pray, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, you have eternal life. Okay, remember that, because when you travel and when you talk with your friend and say, you know, I pray, accept Christ, but I have to do whatever else in order to earn. But it's talking about whoever believes in the Son, Jesus Christ, have eternal life. And that the thing is 100%, is assurance, is guaranteed. The moment when you pray, accept Christ, you have like the seal of God. From the eyes of God, when look down, he not only see you, but he see the blood of Jesus Christ cover your sin. So you become just in front of God, justified by God. But the second point in the book of Proverbs is talking about lean not on your own understanding. What exactly does it mean? Yes, I'm trust in the Lord 100%. But suddenly the second statement, talking lean not on your own understanding. You would find out our understanding of all things is limited to our intelligence or experience. Okay, some of you are the teacher. You get trained to be the teacher and you teach. So you gain experience from your teaching. So that's all you know. Okay, a lot of you are very, very intellectual. You read like 100 books or 1,000 books. But that is just the very, very small knowledge of the human understanding. But a lot of things out there we just don't understand. And sometimes we cannot explain. It's just like right now, You know, I got back from the trip at 4 p.m. yesterday. You know, get a quick haircut by 5 and then fall asleep until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and get up and come to the church. And during the time of thinking and sit like over 24 hours on the way back, it's kind of amazing me how in the world, when we register for the church and we help to register the church of Galilee, so they have registered, so they be legally recognized, you know, on the water. But at that time we say, how about just get recognized on land? And then, so they get legally recognized on land, and suddenly we have a church in Siem Reap, the structure is legal, and suddenly we're supposed to buy land for them to for self-sustaining, and suddenly now there is a church in that village. It's also legal because of paperwork we done. We did 2 or 3 years ago. How the words happen? Because when we think about legally, we're only talking about something about protection. But if you read the news lately, there's a lot of chaos among the nation, and suddenly the church gets protected. And the people are so happy about it, okay? And that's the only Vietnamese church legally established in Tonle Sap and Siem Reap, and have the legal protection. So something had happened for that church. We, the church in America, can ask U.S. Embassy to come in and help the church. Remember, it's not in the plan, but somehow it's happened. And when we bought the land, in the program, supposed to be visit 30 minutes to see what exactly they buy, what's going on. And suddenly people came, and now there's a church. Hopefully 2 weeks from now, you will see the picture they will take and what the structure is supposed to look like. See how they spend $500 to $1,000 to build that structure. We don't know yet, but it's up to their creativity. But hopefully not four stick and a plastic on top. Okay, so it limits to our understanding and intelligence, because we very much limit for the plan of God. But God's understanding is far above our own people, because God, the knowledge of God is unlimited. And we, limited persons, sometimes we just flatly couldn't understand, couldn't comprehend in his plan. And Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So, and that's what the Bible said. Something as a human being we cannot comprehend. So how can we understand God and figure out his direction for our life? A couple suggestions. We need to discover the wisdom of God from the scripture, because believe it or not, everything on the knowledge, the principle of life, it condensed in this book and what we call is, which we call is a Bible. And a couple of examples in the Bible, we would find out the scripture make David wiser than his teacher. Psalm 119 verse 99, so because your wisdom, okay, from your word, so I would be wiser than even my teachers. So we need to learn the principle and the wisdom from the scripture. If you have to read the Bible and understand the wisdom of God, okay, if you have a very short time, I recommend read the book of James, because the James is the proverb of modern time. But you like poet, and you have a little more imagination, and read the book of Proverbs in order to understand, you know, theology, very basic. Read the book of Romans, so you understand what the scripture, the theology, biblical principle is on about to help your faith. After you read Romans, read Galatians, so you know a little bit about the church, okay? But you have more time, read Psalm. Some is only about 150 chapters, so each day you read about 10 chapters, divide by five chapters in 30 days, 1 month you complete the book of Psalm. Proverbs, read one chapter a day, in 1 month you just recycle, and maybe the Lord teaches just a little bit every day. Just a little bit, and after 365 days, we know a little bit more. And each day, the Lord will teach us, okay? And when you learn about the history of the world, go back to the book of Genesis, focus on the first three chapters, and the rest of them, chaos. Okay? But you only want to have just a good feeling, and read the first three chapters, the last two chapters of the book of Revelation. You're unhappy and you read the chaos from chapter 4 on the way to Revelation, you know, chapter 19, something like that. You learn about all the chaos of the world, all the trouble in the world, all the thing, okay? But at least the beginning of the world, three chapters in Genesis and up two chapters, you see how things supposed to happen, even though in the midst of chaos. So you just hear the whole summary of the Bible. Okay? We find God through, God will, through Bible study and prayer, set up some time of your day, how busy you are, 5-10 minutes, commitment of yourself, quiet time to read and pray based on the passage you read. We live in the modern world, it's very, very easy, because if you have the cell phone, like a you know, you program, read the Bible in 365 days or 30-day Bible study, devotion, and they download to you, you read, you pray, you meditate on the Word, that all the two available. But you will find His will to your life through this process. And the third point of the passage, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Oh, this is a difficult part. Because yes, I pray and read the Bible. Yeah, I trust Him. But when you get to the third sermon, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. This is the most difficult part. And we put in the practical perspective. So what exactly does it mean? It means to acknowledge Him in all things. That is full surrender to Him. That's the most difficult part of any person, even me. Because sometimes we're thinking about certain part we're very, very good. So we rely on our instinct, our past experience. We may set the Lord aside. But the Bible talking about our full surrender to Him. What exactly does it mean, full surrender to Him? Acknowledge the Lord in every thought and word. Oh, difficult, because our mind, a human mind, sometimes we wander. And when we wander, we think about us instead of the Lord. So we need to think about everything that happened, whatever we think, whatever we're going to say, or whatever we said. We have to acknowledge Him in there. Very difficult. Or at the job and home. You have to acknowledge the Lord's exist, presence at your work, or even at your home. Very difficult, because we grow up in the country, it's very much very, very silo. We separate us at work as a one person. And if you go to school, we separate us, me in school, me at home, me at church. But the Bible is talking about when you fully surrender to Him, you acknowledge Him on the job. It can be your school if you go to school, and at home with the family, or even at the church. Okay, you acknowledge the Lord when the days are dark and bright. Through your life, certain day it looks like it's really good. You have a good day. Acknowledge Him. Certain day look like very, very bad. Didn't see the sunlight of the day. Okay? Recognize Him. Acknowledge His presence. Very difficult. I can say it, and you can think about it. But put in practical or practice is very, very difficult. Acknowledge the Lord on the expressway and in our expression, even when you drive the car on freeway. your behavior and somebody cut in front of you, or even when you have car accident, what exactly your expression, you have to remember the Lord's there, acknowledge Him. So the people cannot see Christ, but they see you. So how do you reflect? You express yourself, okay, to reflect Him. Acknowledge the Lord when with the saints or sinner. Yes, you will see, you meet a lot of good people. How do you behave? You express yourself with the good people, but there's also a lot of sinners out there too. How do you see yourself? How do they see you? So you have to acknowledge the Lord in all of that stuff. So what exactly I try to communicate to you? Discovering God's distraction. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we are but sinners. We saved by Christ, yet led by God from place to place. We live in the moving society. Every one of you, after this, go to worship service, and then you move to Sunday school, and after Sunday school, you move from place to place. Okay? We have to remember, we saved by Christ, but the Lord led us every which way, wherever you are. It's either privilege to get in on God's plan. In order to understand, to get in God's plan, you have to begin by faith, which brings to salvation. So the question this morning, do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Because if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ yet, whatever I'm trying to say, you would not comprehend. Secondly, have you decided to trust God totally for His direction, for the direction of your life? Yes or no? Okay? Because if you not trust God totally for the direction of your life, and whatever I'm trying to communicate to you, it didn't mean much. Have you surrendered completely to the Father's will? So when you go through the meditation, you read God's word, you pray about it, and God plan now some thing for you to do for the day. Do you surrender completely to the Father's will? And you find out the direction of the Lord will always bring purpose and joy. That reason why when we singing, we praise God this morning, do we truly have the purpose of worship or not? And when we praise the Lord, do we praise with joy? And that's what we have to, sometimes we have to go back and think about. And after you get up this worship and then you go to your daily life, okay, when you go home, you see your wife, you see your father, your mom, do you see the joy when you see your family, when you have the fellowship with family? Okay, couple of you, tomorrow you go back to work. When you go to work, do you go to work with the purpose, with the joy of serving the people? And that's the question you have to ask yourself, okay? By understand or be able to answer those questions, you would know where you are on faith, you know, the walk with Jesus Christ. So that reason why Proverbs verse chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Remember, you have to do 1, 2, 3, and then He shall direct your path, direction of your life. Okay, let's all stand up. Let's read this verse together. The first time when you read it, exactly what it is. Okay? The second time when you read, put your name. If you see your, you put my. Okay? In on your ways, and then to say in my way. Okay? So first time we read exactly what the word said. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him.